Welcome to the OTL Faculty Spotlight podcast series that explores personal examples of faculty using innovative and effective teaching strategies in their classrooms. I'm Heather Tobin, faculty developer of integrative learning with the Office of Teaching and Learning at the University of Denver. And today we're talking about reflective pedagogies with Dr. Kara Tazek, a teaching associate professor in the writing program at DU. Now it's time to welcome Dr. Tazek to the OTL Faculty Spotlight podcast series. She's here to provide expertise and share stories about her work with reflective pedagogies. Hi, Kara. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Heather. Thanks for having me.
You're well known for your work in reflective pedagogies. How do you view your work in this area as it relates to the current academic landscape?
I think it's a really important moment to be teaching reflection alongside other content. I view it as a reflective framework that can be added onto any course. And I think it's important for a couple different reasons. One, reflection really teaches students how to be active agents in their own learning. This is coming out of writing studies work done by Kathleen Blake-Yancey. And she says that reflection puts the learning back in the students' hands, allowing them to have that control that they sometimes feel can be missing otherwise. And it's a second reason it's really important is it asks them to look inside themselves to try and make sense of things such as who they are, who they want to be, but also to make sense of what they're learning and why they're learning it. And then the third reason would be really important for helping them move that learning forward or to transfer it outward to other contexts, to other courses, to other experiences. And that's really important in college because you hope that what you're learning has meaning in other situations so that the learning is constantly informing the next or even the current situation or moment for you. And then the last thing that I've really started to explore in the last couple years with reflection is connecting it to well-being and students' understanding of how to take care of themselves, so self-care, but also really understanding that there are really important things they need to kind of embed into their life, like self-care, or kind of just pausing for a moment and taking stock of, okay, so I'm upset right now. I'm really stressed. How do I de-stress? How do I build in situations and experiences for myself to maybe understand how to respond to the stress in more productive or effective ways? And of course, reflection is a practice that is very difficult. It can take students a long time to fully grapple with and understand how to use reflection, both in their coursework and their daily lives, because it's difficult. It's uncomfortable a lot of the times, and it actually takes time. And sometimes, you know, in our American culture, we feel like we have to rush from one thing to another, and students feel this pressure too. So they're like, I have to study for X, Y, and Z, and I don't have any time to be reflective. And so they feel that the pressure is they have no time. They just have to hurry from one moment to another. But I like to teach students. I even go back to Dewey because Dewey is foundational. And he believed that reflecting on, you make learning meaningful by reflecting upon it because it allows you to make sense of things. And so that's what I try and teach students in many different ways throughout the quarter and in the different courses that I teach.
So you mentioned students grappling with stress and difficult times and that being a big piece to incorporating reflective pedagogies. What might you add to the thoughts that you just shared with us, given what we're going through right now in this sort of pivot-ready, high-flex environment that we're facing with the pandemic and COVID-19 in the U.S. right now?
I find it, and I built this in to my spring classes when we were right in the middle of all of the of that unknown uncertainty. And I students found it to be incredibly helpful and meaningful because even if it's like, okay, what is just not working for me right now, emotionally, intellectually, for some spiritually. And so reflection allowed them to step back and kind of assess and create some sort of understanding, a realization, if you will, about what needed to change or what types of changes they might need to make, but also what is going well. So for some students in this current moment, especially in spring quarter, they were just really struggling with trying to find their a sense of place, a sense of belonging when they were unexpectedly thrown back home and unable to finish their first year, because I teach a lot of first-year students in that very traditional way. And so asking students to kind of, you know, take a moment and reflect upon, you know, what are you feeling? And if you think about it, in American culture, we don't always do well ourselves with responding to truly and meaningfully responding to how are you doing. Most of the time, we give a very stale response that may or may not be true because, you know, who wants to listen to the truth? No, I'm not doing very well. And actually, I could use a moment to talk through this. Most of the time, we just say, I'm fine, I'm okay, or we just go about our business. But if you ask a student to really respond to how are you doing and to look inside themselves and respond to that, like, how are you doing truly inside yourself? And then to share that with a group of their peers and with myself, it not only helps them understand how they're doing, like truly understand, but it also starts to generate a sense of community among them because they can see that other students are feeling and going through similar emotions.
That actually makes me think of another great question that we have for you. Tell us about a student that inspired or changed your approach to teaching with reflective pedagogies.
So I actually don't have a single student. When I think of this question, I have an entire class that comes to mind. And let me kind of explain that a little bit. I have taught for probably 6 or 7 years even in HSEM, which is an honors seminar. And it's a 2-credit class that all honor students have to take, I believe, 2 HSEMs. And they're supposed to be outside of their discipline, theoretically based. And so we meet one day a week for a 2-credit class. I've always taught it on reflection and contemplation. And I believe it was 2 years ago, I had a group of 6 students, all women, and from sophomore to senior level. So at very different stages in their college career. And I had set up the course like I normally do based in some key theoretical reflective pieces that kind of cross the discipline. So from like sociology, psychology, I have one from the medical field, some from writing studies, education. And I had it designed like normal. And this group of students, since it was only 6 of them, I asked them if they wanted to use bullet journaling as opposed to using a traditional platform like Canvas. I had been dabbling with bullet journaling in other classes. And one reason I thought it might be really interesting to use is it was a small class, only 6 students. And you could tell right from the beginning that they were really excited to learn about reflection. And so I thought it would be interesting because of what bullet journaling can offer them. And so if you don't know what a bullet journal is, it was developed by Ryder Carroll several years ago as a journal that is a mindfulness practice, but designed as a productivity system. So you can call it whatever you want. You call it a planner or a journal or whatever, but really this is a method to help you live a more productive and meaningful life. And so obviously that means reflection is an intricate part of creating a bullet journal. Now, Carol has it as more of a mindful type of reflection. And I kind of combine mindfulness with critical reflection, rhetorical reflection, so that it asks students to kind of engage on a variety of levels. So this group decided they wanted to bullet journal. And so that meant I started to restructure the class from the beginning. And then they kind of helped take control of designing the class. And so after we decided on bullet journaling and using the various sections that are in bullet journaling, which is like tracking and having schedules and stuff like that, they decided that they wanted to do a research project. They came up with this on their own after doing a couple of the initial readings. And they wanted to research why reflection wasn't integrated more into the courses across their college experience at DU. And so they wanted to know why it wasn't in the courses, why there weren't places or spaces on campus to, you know, talk and be mindful and be reflective. And so we started to look at what would it look like to integrate a reflective framework across the entire campus? And what would that mean for students? What would that mean for faculty? And so they really took control of the class, just like Kathleen Blake Yancey said, reflection can do for students. And they helped me redesign it. And they did this, you know, 8-week-long research project where they did some digging into what this might look like in practice. And they came to some really interesting conclusions that I was actually then able to use as part of an Impact 2025 grant on e-portfolios and a reflective framework. And I won the grant. And I really believe that they helped because I use the work that they did with their permission, of course, as part of that grant. And so when you ask me, do I have a, you know, I have lots of students where reflection has resonated with them, that they, you know, go on to be a high school teacher and they use reflection in their classroom, even with like freshmen and sophomores. I have students who are in social sciences and who start to integrate reflective practice into their research projects. I have students who want to be medical doctors and who reflection resonates with them and they use it as part of their med school application. So I have lots of students who have inspired me to change the way that I teach with reflection, but it's that one class, those 6 women that come to mind that really have inspired me to just make changes to show students not just about the importance of the practice of reflection, but also extending it out to this is what reflection can do for you in your college experience.
Thank you. That is inspiring. What is one thing that your reflective teaching practices did for a student that you weren't expecting?
I'd have to say, again, I'm going to use a couple of students instead of just one. So in my HSEM that I was just talking about, I've had a lot of STEM students who want to be doctors. And I have to say they always come into the class a little resistant. They're, you know, they have to take it as an honor student. I'm one of like 2 or 3 that's offered in the fall, and a lot of them like to take it in the fall. And they are STEM-oriented thinkers. And so a lot of times that means that they feel like reflection doesn't have a place. But I was I love to debunk that thinking for them. And so I see this when they come back to me, you know, 2 or 3 quarters later, asking me to write, you know, their letter of recommendation for med school. And they always say, your class helped change my thinking, the way that I think and respond to things, which of course is so important. If you're going to be a medical doctor, you want your medical doctor to be creative and critical at the same time, so that it's not just like a textbook response that they have to you, that they're really stepping back and assessing you as a person and your situation and what you're experiencing. So that would be the students. I would say the STEM students are always the ones that come back to me surprised at how much reflection has impacted them.
If you could share some advice with yourself when you were first getting started with this practice, what would you say?
I would say that reflection is so much more than just a one-dimensional, linear type of practice and process, that there's so much that you can do with it, and that it is a practice that crosses disciplines. When I was first introduced to reflection, of course, it was inside my own discipline. And so that's how I kind of viewed it. But the more I got into the research that I do on reflection and on transfer, the transfer of learning and the transfer of writing practices, the more that I saw how reflection crosses disciplines and how important reflection truly is to a student's understanding of their college experience and an understanding of who they are and who they want to be, and it kind of an understanding of how to go out and be those innovative and resourceful thinkers that most employers are really looking for.
So given the importance that you see with student reflection and their experience throughout their degree and program, if you could do one thing to advance or improve the field of reflective pedagogies and teaching, what would it be?
It would be to have all instructors and faculty teaching reflection. I think I have found throughout the years that there are some really seamless ways you can teach reflection. But as I mentioned earlier, reflection is a difficult practice for students. It's also a difficult practice for faculty to grapple with themselves, to kind of understand. I've been invited to do workshops at several universities across the country. And one of the questions that faculty always ask is, how do I grade something like this? And so instead of seeing the resourcefulness of reflection, they immediately go to almost like a fear of how do I grade something that kind of connects and overlaps personal and social and community, and it can be personal and rhetorical or personal and meaningful and critical. And so, and of course, that's a real fear, and it's a really great question. But for me, it's not so much about putting a grade on a reflection so much as it's having students understand their own evolution and their own growth as a learner, a thinker, a potential knowledge maker. So I think just like students, faculty, and instructors can they don't like to be uncomfortable. And reflection is definitely something that almost encourages a discomfort and a being okay and kind of like centering yourself in that this discomfort and figuring out when you are uncomfortable, when you feel this form of discomfort, what do you do with it? How can you learn from it? How can you make changes in the way that you teach and respond to things? But I think that that's why we need to integrate it more across courses, is it not only helps students, it helps faculty too. One of the other things I hear from faculty is when they introduce reflection, they always get to know their students on a more personal level. And that I think is important in college, because those connections that you form, they really help you later on in life figure out how to make and create those meaningful relationships, whether it's in the workplace or in your personal life. And so having faculty use it and understand that it doesn't have to be like this a huge extra undertaking, and if they just open themselves up a little bit, that it can be really impactful and meaningful. And that's one of the things I love about teaching faculty about reflection, is that when they come back to me, you know, a quarter or a year later, and they say to me, you know, I had no idea what reflection can do and what it's enabled the students in my class to do. And that shows me how important reflection truly is as a practice, and how important reflection is to be used in the college classroom.
Thank you for listening to this OTL Faculty Spotlight podcast episode. Make sure to join our Facebook group at DUOTL and follow our Twitter feed at OTL at DU, where we'll post all of our new podcast episodes as they become available.